This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. How are you doing today, Sean?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing awesome.
First of the year. New chapter, new year.
New beginnings, right?
Yeah, it's exciting. I think we have... We're excited about 2023. I don't know. I know it's a lot of uncertainty still, but I think it's going to be a fabulous year for
us. Positive and optimistic, yeah. For sure.
And I'm ready to bury 2022, to be honest with you. Yeah. It was a great year, but also came with a lot of tribulation. And,
absolutely.
So it's one of those up and down years, yes. Where you're like high on one minute and low at the other minute. But it's all
good.
See
the good, right?
Yeah. So see no, the and, good. And that was, yeah, I was actually listening to a podcast this past weekend, and that was the one... True message I got out of it was like, you know, without all those sometimes painful events and struggles that you go through, like those are what make you who you are. And those are what 100%. Teach you and develop. He was talking a lot about like COVID and the pandemic.
How can
pandemic.
You grow otherwise?
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Right? That's where the growth comes from.
Yeah.
And that's without going through those things, you don't grow. So you got to look at the good and
absolutely.
See. Yeah. And definitely we have grown a lot this past year. So. And we had a lot of awesome memories and things to celebrate as well,
sure.
Within our businesses, yeah. And personally.
Yeah. So for you guys, if you haven't tuned into the last two episodes, we talked a lot about goal setting and, you know, kind of getting prepared for the new year. So if you have not listened to those, I encourage you to go back and listen to those. And if you have not planned out for the new year yet, then it's not too late. So start doing that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what are we doing today?
Well, I thought that we both thought we would talk about acquisitions, right? Because we just went through an acquisition, bought a property management company locally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that whether it's an acquisition through property management or just a business in general, I think mm-hmm. this is a good episode to talk about and kind of the steps that we took to get there.
Yeah. It's something we haven't, I don't think, spoken about within the podcast yet. And mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, we've completed three of them. And so we're going to get into those and what we've learned from those three. But if you remember, I used to, Joni, I don't know if she paid attention or not, but I used to study.
What do you mean? I always pay attention. Come on.
For years, I was on a lot of email mailing lists from business brokers. And so like I would I still do this today. I love to see what's for sale. I study the businesses.
For fun.
And we've bought a few, but I look at, if I'm really interested, you know, I'll go ahead and reach out to the broker and sign the seller's disclosure and all that and get more information mm-hmm. on the business. But I love to analyze them, mm-hmm. run the numbers, you know, and I think it, just like yes. real estate, and it's no different than real yeah. estate. It's, that's going to be one of my points later on is that I think you need to, if you're seriously considering starting a business mm-hmm. Or maybe growing, you know, I would analyze, hundreds of businesses and really get to understand them and the numbers and the profit and loss statements and the balance sheets and really their competitors and
absolutely.
All of that. And just really start. So it's no different than a real estate deal. Mm-hmm. So how you do your due diligence on a real estate deal and or a multifamily project, you run the numbers, you make sure it makes sense. It's no different than as a business. So,
right. So why don't we let's get yeah. into it. Cause so we've done, I think three acquisitions now
correct.
With property management companies. And so why don't you talk about our first acquisition
yeah.
and how that went.
And I think the reason why you look into acquisitions, no matter where you are, even if you don't own a business today, maybe you're in currently working for somebody, but considering it is, purchasing a business is would you say it's easier than building it from scratch?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Right. Because I feel like when we started it from scratch, you know, there was some, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough, but and you learn a lot, right? You get really familiar with
and
the
I
business.
Think that's the part. You learn a lot, right?
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know. You kind of have to create the processes yourself where
yeah.
if you kind of just gift it or you just buy a business, yeah. right? It's already there. Yeah. It's a lot easier, I think, but you don't learn from it.
Yeah.
A lot more. Yeah. As much.
Gotcha. So, I mean, so this would be if you're looking to acquire I think still today, if I was going to go back and do it all over again, I would buy an existing business.
Yeah, because it's easy.
But that's with my knowledge of and bruises and cuts and scars from 22 years of being in business. I mean, it's easier for me to say now, but I've gone through all those learning lessons and mistakes and lawsuits and all the painful crap that you go through. And so
but I think that's what makes you, is having to go through those painful points.
Correct.
Right.
But today I would start a business. I would buy an existing business because I've learned some of the learning curve as an entrepreneur, not all of it. There's still a lot to learn, but, so whether you're looking to acquire a business locally for yourself or where we've utilized it well is if you're looking to expand into another market. So maybe you own a business in Houston, you want to expand into Albuquerque, New Mexico, it's much easier to buy an existing business than start from scratch.
Exactly. With zero. Which is what we did.
Correct.
Yeah, we were in Houston and we decided, let's build a business in New Mexico.
Correct.
Thinking we're going to go back and visit family, and that's why we wanted a business there.
Correct. And then the other way to why you would want to look at acquisitions is to grow, you know, within your current market and grow your current business. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit easier to just bolt on than one client at a time, adding on, you can add hundreds of clients at one time and grow or buy out your competition and gain market share. So, yeah, let's get into our first one. So our first one was in 2015. We had the opportunity to buy a management company in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which you and I were familiar with the market.
Right.
We had been real estate
investors. That's where we started investing in real estate.
Correct. And so just the breakdown, so you kind of understand where we were coming from. You know, we had a business, property management company, real estate development company, and investment company here in Houston. I think we had a couple rentals in Albuquerque still, but we're not active anymore in the day-to-day buying and selling. Mm-hmm. So we saw Albuquerque and all our families there. So we felt like it was a place that we go back often. So it was a place we could start a business. So, we bought a company that had 165 doors they were managing. They were doing about $1.5 million in revenue. Joni still had her broker's license there. So that was also another, advantage to us to moving into that market. And then we thought we could get back in active into real estate investing in that market as well. So it felt like a good match for us. And so,
we also wanted our investors to be able to diversify as well, not just in, cause we were selling turnkey rental properties and we wanted another market so our investors could go to as well.
Correct. So, I don't have the exact numbers, but I believe we purchased it for just shy of $200,000. We used a bank loan for 40% of it, and we put up the real estate management agreements as collateral. Mm-hmm. So how they translated on this particular investment is we were able to pay off that seller, the bank loan within 2 years. The seller, we were able to pay off within 6 months, and how we structured that one, and this happens a lot in the property management space, is there's a 6 month seller clawback period where we're able to, any account we lose within the first 6 months, whatever we paid per account, that's what we were able to take off the promissory note that we owe to them. So it's a way that you can insulate yourself if any customers are, you know, upset with the change or the sale.
Which they are going to be. Correct. So I think that's one reason why if you're doing this, you need to have a clawback is because of that. I mean, you're always going to lose a customer because they don't like the change. Yeah. Or like in this case, we bought property or there were some accounts that were just way far out of our area, which it didn't make sense for the portfolio, right?
Correct.
And so we terminated that because it makes sense. And so we just took it out of that.
Correct. And then we recouped our entire investment for that particular purchase within a 2.5 year period, roughly. So for us, it made a lot of sense and it allowed us to grow into another market, start another property management company, and then start buying and selling houses within that market as well, which we still do today. Mm-hmm. So would you have done it all over again?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we've learned a lot, especially like building a business outside of our area, right? Building employees, all the leadership behind it, like it made us who we are today. I don't know, good or bad, but no, absolutely. I think it was a good move, and I wouldn't take that back.
Correct. Yeah. So, I mean, the big one with this one was this is a 2-hour plane flight from where we live. So this is, we had to learn how to manage people from afar, manage another business from afar. So,
and again, at the beginning, it was a lot. I mean, yeah. We were there. I was there at least once a month.
Correct.
Sometimes you were as well. So, yeah.
And it's, so this is something, again, you're, there was a lot of learning lessons that we had to do that probably we were naive to, but we didn't realize how, you know, we just had to grow as leaders mm-hmm. and learn how to, you know, manage people that aren't going to be in the office day to day with directly with us. So how often do we go there? How do we communicate? And I think we're a lot better today with the technology we have today, but it was tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, we bought that business with employees in place, and we kept a lot of them as we, when we acquired them. And, you know, again, it's changed. So
right.
Even the employees, not only the clients and the customers, but also the employees are going to go through change. They're used to working for, you know, Joe and Mary, and all of a sudden Sean and Joni come in and like, well, I don't really like Sean and Joni anymore. Well, they're too hard, or they're, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but also they have a whole different set of processes. Correct. And procedures, right? And so I think that was probably the toughest part, is aligning the two companies together. We wanted to go the same direction, you know, and at sure. first we were going two different directions to try to bring them back together.
Yeah.
We're working like almost as one company. That took a bit. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there was a lot going on there.
So there's definitely challenges to managing. So the next two acquisitions that we did were, one was in Albuquerque again, but we already had our existing
right.
business. And then one just recently, last Friday, we closed in Houston. But those were not to grow into a new market. These were just to grow our market share within those markets that we were already mm-hmm. currently managing property. And so the second one was 92 doors. So about the same amount of revenue, because they had some large commercial properties that had high rent. And that one was a little different. We just structured where we paid 80% cash. We used some savings and just mainly paid for it cash up front. And then we did a 20% seller carry back as
right.
well. And that one, and that was, again, for the clawback period, which we did lose several accounts because they were just people that it's amazing what you'll find out. So, like, once you acquire a business, a lot of things, not, you try to do your best due diligence period. And we're going to get into some of that, but there's going to be things that the seller holds back. And so, like, there was properties we found that were up for sale already. There was mm-hmm. properties that sold right around the same time, you know.
Well, and this was also, so the second one that we purchased was literally in the heat of COVID, right?
Sure.
And so we had tenants that were in commercial. Commercial was also a new thing to us. Like, we had never managed commercial buildings mm-hmm. before, and this was a portfolio of commercial property. So learning that was a challenge, right? Because it's mm-hmm. totally different than single family. But then also we had tenants that hadn't been paying for
years.
And so, you know, with angry owners because they hadn't got paid, and we couldn't do anything in New Mexico yeah. because of the eviction moratorium. So that had a whole set of challenges.
Correct. But I think it paid off. We recouped our investment within, you know, a 1-year period. And that was kind of our goal. But it was definitely, again, mm-hmm. another big challenge and
right.
painful. And the commercial part of it was a real big pain for us. But and then just turning around some of those clients and mm-hmm. those get them to pay. A lot of them got rental assistance and just came in right when we closed, so it worked out perfect. But
right.
And then the third one we just closed on Friday, was 49 doors. Again, mm-hmm. not very large. You know, it wasn't a really large business. But we did about 85% cash, 15% seller carry back. And this one, we estimate to recoup our investment within 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it comes with, again, there's all the way until the closing date. There's things that change, and, you know, you navigate as you go through all this, and things that you find out. And but I think, again, it's a great way for us to grow. Rather than growing one door at a time, you know, with our BDM and our business development person that we have in our office, that does extremely well, and he does a great job. But, you know, and he'll, on average, what, 15 doors?
Mm-hmm. About 15.
15 doors here, and he'll grow a month in Houston, and then his goal is about 15 in Houston and then 10 in Albuquerque, so about 25 a month. But, you know, it comes and goes and varies, but that's his goals. And so if we can, within one swoop, you know, bring in 50 doors, that's over 2 months worth of new doors that we can acquire at one time. So, and it's good for our business and good growth. So,
yeah. I want you to talk a little bit about, because I think each one had a different, like how, what was the motivation behind each one of these owners selling? And so, like, and how do we acquire this? Like,
yeah, it's a great question. So one, the very first one, they had owned a mortgage company, and when the 2007-2008 collapse, they lost their mortgage company. They had done really well in the mortgage, so they pivoted and went into property management. And then by the time we acquired in 2015, they were burnt out. Mm-hmm. They were ready a little older. They were retirement age, so they were just like. They had just done 7-8 years of property management,
which is boot camp.
And they had grown some more gray hair, and see, I had a lot more hair and a lot more, and it was way more blacker before I got into property management. But the, they were just burnt out. Tired, and they were ready to retire, and they had a big family, and so they were ready to spend time with the grandchildren, and all that. So that's
the second one was a similar situation.
Kinda,
they were
burnt out
and ready to retire.
But they had also, I think,
maybe some medical issues as well. Right?
He had some medical issues, and his partner was a doctor, and so they had some stability there. So they just wanted some free time and wanted to enjoy life, and I don't think they needed the income necessarily anymore, and it was just more of a headache managing the business. So they're ready to get it. And they owned the real estate with that building, so that was another, so they were able to, you know, they had paid off the building, they were ready just to sell everything and move on. So, and they were going to move to a new state as well, so they were relocating. Mm-hmm. So, and then the recent one, I think just struggling as a business owner, there's a lot of those in today's market that have gone through the pandemic and everything we just went through. And it put a big drain on a lot of people. Yeah. It was a lot to manage having your business closed down, trying to manage people that didn't want to work at the time or didn't want to come into work and scared to work at times. And so, and then in the property management space, you know, we had to deal with all the, you know, residents not paying, to getting on rental assistance, to
employee issues, right?
Yeah, it was a lot. And so I think he was just at a point where it was done.
Yeah, and he wasn't as profitable as he wanted to be. And so he had to go back into the workforce.
And needed to support his family. Right. And so he just needed to exit it. And it wasn't what he thought it would be. And so he was just ready to get out.
Which, all three, actually at least two of them, actually came from our network, right? Mm-hmm. Like some, you know, just individuals that we built relationships with over the years, and they knew that Sean and Joni, you know, acquired investments, that kind of thing. And so they reached out to us. And so I think you really, really have to be prepared for those opportunities. Yeah. And all three of these situations, we had savings in our company, right? Yeah. And so when the opportunity came, we had the money to do it. Correct. Right, which is extremely important.
Correct. And then we've contracted on a couple more. they didn't pan out. When you go through the business due diligence period, you know, you discover things that you're like, ooh.
Tell about what we discovered on one of those. That was wild.
Yeah, it was like, how many doors were there? 120 doors, I think we're going to acquire.
And some of it was multifamily. I think there was a couple of multifamily buildings in there.
But one of the largest multifamily buildings, their strategy was to, there was no place for sex offenders to live because it's very hard for them to get a place. So they had a connection with, you know, people once they got out of prison or jail, and they would accept sex offenders. They had a whole place, a whole multifamily property worth this, and it was like,
That was a no-go.
We're like, all right. Like, what are we going to do? Can you imagine like our staff? And then we even asked some of the staff that work for them, like, how do you feel about that? And they're like, well, and I think she was a strong woman, just period. But she's like, yeah, the guys will come in and they'll like rub her hand in a weird
way. And that's how we actually found out about it. We were actually, and that's one thing, if you are, you know, doing due diligence on a company, like go visit the office, right? Go in there for a day, see how they operate, see the employees, how the employees, you know, operate and talk, you know, and that was how we actually found out about it. Cause one of the tenants came in to pay and it did not go well with the lady up front.
Yeah.
And so we questioned it. We're like, what is going on here? And that's when she told us what was really going on. Yeah. But I don't know if they would have told us if we didn't probe it, right?
I mean, so, I think we would have eventually found out, or that probably when we started looking at the buildings, it's all males and it was like one building. I'm not going to jeopardize, I'm not going to put my employees in that kind of environment. We don't rent, you know, we have limitations on who we rent to. And so I just couldn't imagine managing something like that. And then we'd be on the news the next day for something that,
So do your due diligence sure.
Another way, you know, how we got in contract with a lot of those and then how we bought the second one is we had a virtual assistant compile lists in both of our markets of all the property management companies in those markets.
Right.
And so quarterly we mail or email all the owners directly, just a nice letter, just let them know, hey, we're, you know, in your market, we're looking to acquire, we're looking to grow. If you're ever interested, and we'll get a lot of calls and just people that are feeling us out or seeing what we'll pay or, you know, just want more information. And so and then we start those relationships. Mm-hmm. And then quarterly, we just check back in with them.
I think that right there is important. So checking in, they might not be ready like right now,
correct,
but they eventually will be ready. And if you hit them, you know, once a quarter, they're going to, when they're ready, who are they going to call?
Yeah.
Right. So. Like we've been hitting one of the PMs for probably the last like 6 years. Yeah. And this last call that you made to him a couple months ago, he's like, I'm not ready, but I will be calling you if I'm ready. Right?
Yeah. And he doesn't take that as I'm bugging him.
No.
He knows. Yeah. So, and we really got close. And why he was selling at the time was he had just lost a couple key employees. And he was like, how am I going to do this without? And he was able to, you know, kind of get one of them to come back, and then he was able to hire. So he was able to save it, but at that time he was just ready to be done. So another way is business brokers, like I mentioned before, you know, working with there's business brokers that sell businesses, looking for one that is in your industry or an industry you're looking to get into. That'd be a way to start.
Right. Talk about what are some key factors that kind of played into these acquisitions?
The key factors or the motivation?
And the motivation.
Yeah. I'll start with the motivation. So, I mean, there's got to be motivation for them to sell the business. Some of it's retirement. Some of them, they're burnt out. You know, I think some of it, maybe they have multiple businesses and they're just looking to exit out of one of them. Or they found a new opportunity. There's a lot of times people are just, they're wanting a new, they're passionate about something else and they're just ready to sell it. And so, right now, we're looking at another one in Albuquerque that he has another business, and so he's just looking to exit out of it, and so that's going to be probably an opportunity for us as well. So,
absolutely.
Those are some of the motivations. Obviously, there's the finance, you know, which creates a motivated asset, which would be, you know, divorce, death, disease, all the D's. But those are going to create reasons for people selling as well.
Same as real estate.
Yeah. And what we look for, you know, kind of some of these businesses that we're looking, you know, again, it's either if we're going to expand into another market, if we're looking to, for market share and increase our market gain our market share in a certain area. But we really look at there's several factors that I look at. I want to know, how many, like, so if it's property management related, I want to know how many doors they're managing. I want to know the revenue. I want to see their profit and loss statements, their balance sheet, all the financials. And really, and I want to go back a couple of years and see trends. And I want to see, you know, are they growing? Are they declining? Is it seasonal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of look at the what's going on in that business. So, you know, are they trying to sell me at the really high, but, you know, they,
right.
And then you can ask a lot of questions with all that. Like, And you should have a series of questions once you do your due diligence and look through all the financials. Look at their customer base. A big one for us is how many clients do they have?
How many total
for the revenue? Or because if they have one or two clients and that's and they're wonder if you buy that and one of those clients doesn't like you or is ready to move and this is their opportunity, you might lose like a huge portion of your revenue. And that's another big factor is like if they got too many. I like to buy where there's single clients, like so for real estate, for property management.
Yeah, they own one to two rental properties. Correct. Right.
And so if one of them leaves, it's not like I'm losing a bunch of revenue out of it. So that's a big one for us as well. Obviously, like, you know, what are their makeups? So like that one we just talked about with the crazy apartment complex they manage, you know, that's a big factor that changed our mind from buying it. And look at and also speak to all the employees. Mm-hmm. Once you get further down the road and you send a letter, we send a letter of intents first, and just to fill them out, make sure we're in the same ballpark as far as price and work out some of the initial terms and then get into a full purchase agreement. But you're going to want to speak to the staff, visit their properties, visit the business.
Yeah, visit the properties for sure. I think that, you know, because you want to see what kind of properties that is in their portfolios. You know, C-class, I know there was a lot of C-class on one of the acquisitions we were going to do, and it just didn't fit our model, right? So really looking at that.
But if it's like a plumbing company, you know, looking at everything, their equipment, how old is it, their vans, their, you know, getting into all the details, because the more information you have and the more knowledge, the better. But you also want to look at, I think, just how their processes and procedures. Is this something that you're going to have to, you know, come in and totally rebuild everything? Or is this something that is pretty much turnkey? You just turn on the lights and it runs, you know. How happy is their staff? How, you know, all those kind of things. And, you're not going to be able to know everything until you fully get in there. And then everybody opens up about the prior ownership or, you know, but it usually doesn't happen until at the end.
Yeah.
But just a good makeup. And so, and know that people are going to not like change. And so every time this is a big change, the ownership change, they might also look at, this is another big one, is does the current owner, is he like the business? So meaning his name and everything, is that make up the entire business? Because if he leaves, does that mean all the business leaves with it? So, you know, does he answer all, does he speak to all the clients? Is he the one main one that has to do all the estimates? Does he, like, how involved is that owner? Because that's going to dictate, and maybe you have enough experience and you want to step into those shoes, but in most cases, if you're acquiring a business, you want it to be turnkey, whether he's involved or not.
Right.
But some of the talk about to the some of the communication that we had to go through, because I think communication's a big,
it's huge. I think that's into it you know, even to the point where, like this last one, right? The person that we bought it from, like he had to communicate to his owners that, hey, this is what I'm doing, right? Yeah. And then we had to come right after that and say, kind of introduce ourselves. We do a lot of videos. We, you know, really try at the very beginning to contact them to make sure, make them feel comfortable, make them feel welcome, because I think that that's a big part of it is the communication.
Correct. So I think once you're under contract, you're getting close to the and you work this out with the seller, because a lot of times he's not ready to notify everybody yet. But once you get close to that, we usually allow them to make the notification first from them that this is what's happening. We read everything before all the communication before he sends. I don't want just to send out something that doesn't align with what we're saying, the same messaging. And we're not trying to throw anybody under the bus when we come in and do our messaging, but we're coming in and letting them know what we offer, why we're acquiring it. And like Joni said, we do videos.
Try to be as transparent as you can as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And then same thing with the, so I think all stakeholders should be notified and be overly communicated.
Right.
If it's not that large of a business, in a lot of cases you can call each and every client and owner and speak to them and win them over, because majority of the time a phone call will go over really well.
And I mean, you know, just, and you're going to have a few of these owners that, you know, are going to email, they're going to call because they're questioning or they're uncomfortable. Like you said, like nobody ever likes change, right? But you need to try to squash it as quickly as possible. If it, even it's on a weekend, right? I did that this past weekend where one of the owners was a little uncomfortable and didn't know the process. And so I just picked up the phone and squashed it and won him over. Great. So it's something that you have to do.
Yeah, we closed on Friday, the day before New Year's Eve. And he sends, he gets his final statement from the prior owner. And, you know, upset. I had some things that didn't go well. And so she's like, what should I do? Wait, or? And I was like, no, I just pick up the phone and call him. And she did. She called him, and he had already gotten a video from Joni. But, you know, it was New Year's Eve, right? Mm-hmm. Right? And it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And he's like, number one, like,
almost taken back.
I'm blown away. You're calling me on a holiday and you're willing to answer and take my calls. Like, that right there.
That speaks volumes, correct. You know, to anybody.
Yeah. Like, and so it won him over, and I think we'll have a client for life because of that. And so, and it just totally changes the narrative, you know, and the upsetness mm-hmm. and calms his nerves. And so, and I think we have a lot to offer these clients that maybe they're not currently getting. And
right.
So I think, you know, I think they're stepping into something great. They don't know that, and I understand that. They don't know. I can say it all I want, but I'm going to have to demonstrate it. But I really feel, and I'm truly passionate, that we're going to offer more service.
Exactly. And you have to believe that.
Correct. If you don't, then you need to fix that first. Let's just quickly just go through what are some of the pros, you know, to acquiring businesses versus just growing.
Market share, of course, you know, getting in a different market.
Yeah, growing quickly, mm-hmm. Being able to, with one fell swoop, you know, yes, it costs you money, but you grow tremendously. Because mm-hmm. you got to think about it. Like we were saying earlier, we can grow at, you know, 15 to 25 doors a month, and we're spending at least 10 to 12,000 a month in marketing. Mm-hmm. If we can do that slowly, and we do that on top of this, but then if I can come in and, you know, spend 60 grand and acquire 50, like with one swoop, well, that makes a lot more sense to me. And if I can recoup, I know I can recoup the revenue that those are going to generate, I can recoup within 6 months mm-hmm. of my investment back. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
And it's what we know, right? It fits in what we have been doing all our lives. So, as opposed to you buying a plumbing business and you having to get your master plumber's license. I didn't require me to get another license. It was part of my license, just, you know, buying new doors and putting them under my license.
It makes it a lot easier.
So, yeah.
And going back in hindsight, I would rather knowing what I know now, I would have rather bought a plumbing company that's existing, that had employees, that had the equipment, had everything, and just could have taken off than growing from zero revenue and then growing it to where we
or have. Would you rather buy an acquisition and put more doors in?
Maybe that would have been a lot easier. probably. Yeah. But I think it just, you're able to, the pros are, again, are you're just able to grow quicker, move into a new mm-hmm. market, have immediate revenue. I think you can eliminate some of your competition and grow market share.
For sure. What are some of the cons?
Losing customers, because with change, mm-hmm. Like I said before, especially if that owner was very active in that business, you can guarantee you're going to lose some business.
Yeah. But I think you can also expect that. Prepare for it.
Correct. It should be built into your price.
Exactly.
That you negotiate.
Right.
Or you have a callback, you know, carry back, some kind of agreement like mm-hmm. that with the owner. Change is going to be difficult. Employee turnover, because mm-hmm. they're not going to be as happy with the new setup. And then there's just going to be things that come out of the woodworks mm-hmm. that the seller didn't disclose to you, that you're going to find out once you close. So we had one on, I dropped the ball like the day morning of closing. It's like, well, this customer, this owner charged a fee that I didn't agree with right at the end to kind of, you know, siphon some money out of the business. And it's like, well, that's not... You didn't disclose that to the buyer, and that's something you should have disclosed.
Right, and at that point, you have two choices. You either let it go bust the day before closing, or, you know, you figure out a way to make it work. And I think that having that clawback, again, you know, in the event that it does come worse to worse, and you know, we have to pay owners back that transfer fee, then that's what we do.
Correct. Right? So there will be things that come up, and so it's not all roses and glamorous, mm-hmm. but it just like anything, it has its challenges. So just some final wrap ups is, again, I recommend starting with just analyzing businesses, getting on some business brokers mailing mm-hmm. lists, and just analyzing, studying them. So, you know, looking at their P&Ls, visiting them. Just the more you can do your due diligence, the better of a business owner and understanding you'll become. Just like in real estate, analyzing, the more deals you analyze, the better you'll become mm-hmm. as a real estate investor. Yeah. Working with different business brokers. And again, if you have an existing business, I recommend you start compiling a list of your competitors and start mailing them, and just see, you'd be surprised how many people are interested, are burnt out, or ready to retire. And a lot of them have great businesses. Yeah. They're just ready for a new chapter in their life and a new season. And so you could be that one that could be there right at the right time. And it's all again about the right timing, right?
Yes, like you said, it really is.
Cold calling, meeting them, and then just developing that network that Joni talked about. The more you network and put it out there that you are.
Tell everybody what you do, right? Everybody should know what you do.
Correct.
Right? Because when that opportunity comes, like, who are they going
to
be calling?
Just plant that seed. And, mm-hmm. and when the timing's right, they'll look to call you. Yeah. So I hope that helped. I hope you, we would love to share it with us if you've done an acquisition or if you're looking to. I would love to hear about it. And I'm excited for you and excited for 2023 and all that it's going to bring, and the prosperity and the growth. And we're looking forward to hearing all about it. And you're going to hear all about ours.
Yes.
So on this.
Not just the successes, but also the failures, correct, right? Because that's what makes you
grow. So appreciate all of you. Happy New Year to everybody, and looking forward to this year.
Have a great one, everyone. See ya.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talk, talk, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.